It's 8:30, so we need to get moving here. I think what happened last time is we didn't have a full update from the city staff on the wayfinding program. So that's why we're meeting today, so soon after the last meeting. And Tim and Greg are, and Mike are here today. Jim and I, we don't count, but I'll let Tim, are you ready? Or Greg or somebody?
If possible, whatever we need to get out of Greg and I, I'd like to do within the first half hour.
Right, we get it.
Because we both have other places. We unfortunately have to be today. Just true through your happenstance, we have a lousy scheduling day.
Well, you're on.
Yeah.
Okay. I think actually the conversation started with Wendy and Kathy and I about doing directional signage down on the corner of Beach Street and Coast, and asking if we can have some sort of additional directional signage going down Beach Street toward where the parking is down at Nye Beach. And we started talking about these signs. And really the unwillingness of the city to go with a sign like this for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is that they're not necessarily appropriately sized. They're too small. Another reason is that they're much more difficult to deal with in terms of manufacture and accident purchasing on the sign division for Mike. Number three, they don't meet any kind of METCD standard in any way, shape, or form, which has always been our goal at the city, to try and conform with a uniform standard for signs. And number four, they're really actually quite difficult to get the amount of signage that's necessary on a single pole and meet the guidelines that we have to meet in terms of clearance and height on the poles. And so this is the one that's actually down on the parking lot in Nye Beach. And that's a pretty good example, because we have to have a certain amount of distance between the ground and the first sign. And when you start stacking these one on top of the other to show all the different things that you might get with a standard METCD type of directional signage, you start having problems. And so that's why Public Works balked at that. This was a rendering that was made by Mike specifically for that corner at Coast and Beach Street to show the amenities that are down that road. And the brown is the standard highway color for recreational activities. I think that's
recreational
and cultural.
Recreational and cultural. There are instances where you can go to a blue, and that's a
motor services is what that normally indicates.
Yeah. So, and we could do that without really having any problem. That's a standard FHWA color. It's consistent with what I've seen some other signage done before. And I don't think we'd really have a raw issue with that, and that conforms much more closely to the color scheme that was done as part of the wayfinding sign process. And so this is the proposal that we would have, is we would go and use this type of signage rather than this type of signage. These particular signs, and particularly this one, have varied pretty substantially from what was actually shown, in my opinion, what was actually shown in the wayfinding sign plan. If you take a look at the map, which I, of course, didn't bring, I have a very large copy of it in my office, and I could grab it if we want, the maps that show all of Newport. Mm-hmm. The logos are actually these logos, with the exception of the parking sign. That's the only one that is shown as a circle, but it's shown white on blue, not like this either. And so all of these logos actually match the map exactly. And so it doesn't vary really from what's shown on those maps when we start using these for directional signage. And we're specifically talking about directional signage now. We're not talking at all about the district signs. That's a whole different animal, and the way that those have been done is just great. And we're planning on continuing that process and making sure that those are maintained and installed. And I believe the signs for South Beach are on order. And how long is it going to take for those to come?
Those aren't on order. We still have to update the maps first.
Okay. So we're getting to the point where we got to get the maps updated. Okay. So the money set aside for that, and then that's in process. So that's not at all what we're talking about. We're only specifically talking about directional signage. This is really what we want to get away from. And in fact, Public Works really needs to be involved before any sort of signs are ordered. These were ordered unbeknownst to us.
Greg was at the meeting.
Yeah, but somebody placed this order and it, and I want to show you the difference between the two signs, I guess, and how they're manufactured. And that's why it's pretty important to have Mike actually do the ordering as our sign person, because he can make sure that those signs conform with the requirements that they're supposed to conform with: retroreflectivity, the types of screen that are used, the materials that they're manufactured on. This is a plastic base. This is an aluminum base. This is actually powder coated. I think this was one of the original signs that were ordered out of the gate.
I ordered those signs after we talked about it at the committee, and that was probably a permanent one, and these were like temporary, super cheap. We just said on that pole, because I've been on this committee 4 years and there was no beach sign at Beach Street, and so we said we'll just do a temporary thing, and that was a one-time thing. And I think the good thing is that now it won't happen again.
That's exactly my point.
So it was super cheap. Just put it up and see if it works, and so that won't happen again. And I think it was good. It brought us together at the table, and we'll figure something out that is easy and works.
We had a conversation with the mayor two months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think out of that meeting, one of the things that we had talked about was putting together a form for doing sign requests. Mm-hmm. So when somebody has a request, I'm going to use the example of Beach Street and Coast again. The Wayfinding Sign Committee would really like to have some directional signage put up at that corner. And we ran through this process with the parking district and the city center, where they got together and they had a bunch of ideas for parking signage. And Mike and I met with them, and it was literally like a 12-page list. I mean, it was gigantic. And what we were able to do is sit down with them and that list and try and come up with some uniformity in the district as a whole. And so that it's, number one, it's straightforward for Mike to either purchase or make and install the signs, and then there's some conformity with how the signage works within that district itself. And I think on the wayfinding side, I think we're really kind of we're shifting gears on wayfinding now, going from district signage, which we're kind of at the tail end of with the South Beach stuff, with the possible exceptions of maybe some corrections or changes about what's out there, to more literal directional signage. So we're talking about the bathrooms as an example on 9th and Herbert there, and how we direct both RVs and cars to park there, and notify people that there's a public restroom there. And what I really think we need to do is that map that we had as part of the original wayfinding sign really showed the destinations, but didn't really take any into account how you get there from different places. And so another map, we really need to create another map, so that we can take a look at both the city center area, and the main downtown, and possibly also South Beach. And how do you get to the amenities that you showed on the original map, and where does it make sense to do things like this to direct people in the right place? One of the ones that I don't particularly care for is there's a directional sign that shows you how to get to Nye Beach right out here on the parking lot.
Oh, that one's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It
takes you in the opposite way.
I live there.
To get to Nye Beach. So you come up on around Angle Street and up here, and you take a left on 9th Street, and then you take a right on Herbert Street, and you get across the light, and then it just sort of drifts off, and you're nowhere near Nye Beach at that point. Whereas Mike is right now replacing the sign at the corner of 3rd and 101 that directs you down to Nye Beach, and it shows all the amenities going down to Nye Beach. Whereas if we had just simply taken them straight up Angle Street and took a right, they'd see that massive sign to Nye Beach, and boom, they're literally right down at Nye Beach. And so by standing back and taking a look at that overall map, okay, play tourist. You know, I'm driving down 101 and I want to go to Nye Beach. How will I get there? You know, I'm in the bayfront and now I'm trying to make my way to Nye Beach. What are the other ways that I'll go? Or I took a wrong turn, you know, and I ended up down here by the hospital somewhere. How do I get to the bayfront from there and let people know that I get to the bayfront? I think that's the process we need to go through, and I think that might be something that we would want to put on the agenda for the parking district meetings here in the near future, is we can start generating that map, and we'll literally put out a map of the city, and we can start drawing on it in marker, and we can come up with a uniform plan, so we can start going out and start doing some directional signage in the format that we all agree to try and get people where we want them to go in a fashion that makes sense without a lot of wheel spinning. Because that's what we're really worried about. We don't have much time and we don't have many resources. And so when we do it, we want to do it once. And, you know, we'll put it up and there's invariably going to be times when we have to go back and make a correction. I don't have a problem with that. But this is a really great sign because this is three generations of ideas on directional signage here. The parking sign, this is METCD standard, the great big green and white one. And I know you guys don't care for that. The one on the top says public parking. It looks an awful lot like a street sign. They don't work very well because everybody thinks it's a street sign and nobody really realizes that it says public parking. And then down here we have the round signs for RV parking, and I think there's a restroom one on below that as well. But those are so small, and that's what really, these are so small.
What size would you recommend?
I have one of the signs back in my office. I believe it's an 18 by 18, which is like this.
On this one, it says it's 12 by 12, I think, or it's 12, because that's 3 feet, and there's three there. So I thought those were foot apiece.
This, I believe, got reduced to 12 by 12.
Yeah, I actually worked at.
Yeah. When you start combining them together, we can reduce them down to a foot, which is what this size is. But the limitations of these signage.
Right, because they're a circle.
They start going like this. And you start stacking these one on top of the other, and if you tried to get all of those onto one pole, you'd have beach access and arrow and this and this and this. Your sign would be 5 feet tall without any signposts yet. That's just how tall the signs are up above what your minimum clearance is, so you have a massive sign. That's how these were designed for, so you can stack these next to each other with directionals and language and get people where they need to go. And this is just right at beach and coast. You know, they could be much larger than that, depending on where you're sending them.
How wide can you go as far, can a sign be, according to your MUTC?
How wide can you want a single pole?
That's what you really get into is just the mechanics of having space to put it.
And that's more on a case-by-case basis.
And what it's going to take for a support. And a lot of that depends upon the type of support. The square, I mean, that's one of the nice things about the square steel. And we've been experimenting with powder coating those. The last wayfinding signs that we put up were on powder coated square steel posts. And those are real, you know, they're real strong and robust, and you can mount things, you know, everywhere on them. So I've mounted some things on a single post like that, you know, we've done some, previous to that, done some real massive kinds of installations to try to support them.
So, of course, to the sign standards, there is no limitations. It's more case-by-case basis.
You know, if you look at, for example, ODOT has a certain size sign that they'll let you put on a single post before they'll make you go to double posts. And it is something like 36 inches or 40 inches or something, isn't it?
That could be. They could have some standard guidelines.
It's some range in there. And that's basically, and especially in this climate, if you go out on a really windy day and you start watching some of the stop signs, I mean, they're hammering like this. And a stop sign's 32 inches?
The standard is 30 inch.
Mm-hmm. So that's what a 30-inch sign is doing on its own. You don't want to go real large because you'll just rip the pole out of the ground. And those aluminum decorative posts are real tough. For mountain signs on because they're not particularly robust. They break a lot, and which is why you're starting to see them getting switched out to the powder-coated square tubes that Mike is talking about because, number one, they're far easier for us to replace, and number two, they're actually meant to hang signs on and withstand the 100-mile-an-hour winds that we get regularly here. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the things that we're trying to adapt to is the right types of posts. Now, again, when you get into the district signs, we're not talking about that. Those are on those decorative posts. That's a whole different animal, and most of those are two-post signs anyway. Not as big of an issue. But the recent one that I can think of that busted off was the one on the corner of Natterland Drive and Natterland Road, right by the Coast Guard there. That sign snapped off in the wind, that aluminum post. And we brought a few bases in before where the bases are all snapped off because they're aluminum and they're brittle and they can't withstand the constant...
Yeah, those actually just fall over. we've hardly had any of them that have actually been struck.
So the question was, how big a sign can you get? It depends. It depends on what post you put it on, and it depends. You know, we could do two posts in some instances if you have the space. In some places, it wouldn't make sense. So I probably would steer away from a double post sign in Nye Beach on the corner of Coast and Nye because there's no room. But you might have a lot of room on one corner, and you might have a lot of amenities, so you might want to put up a bigger sign and use two posts. And I think that as we go through our planning process, we'd be able to figure that out.
And I think that's where Tim is going, is if this committee can say, this is where we want signs, then they can look at it and say, here are your options.
Yeah.
It could be, well, it's not on our property, or we have enough space to put this size, or it's not going to work because there's not enough space for two posts, and it needs two posts, so how about it? So they can at least go through that, but at least the idea can come from this committee, what do you want, and then let those guys to try to figure out, and if there's a snag, then they come back to you and say, here are some options.
We would really like to get away from the round signs. That's a big deal for us. We don't want to put those round signs up.
Tim, can these be stacked vertically if the situation warranted?
Oh, yeah.
Just these, those are individual signs that are mounted on a solid back.
This would be a single solid sign,
okay.
This particular one. But you could, if you wanted to, stack one on top of the other.
And then those, are those reflective? Like, I've noticed these signs on the, they're very reflective at night. And so those will have the same kind of super reflective
It would be like
type.
This.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to point out here, this, the sheeting behind this, where you see the white arrow, this is the same high intensity prismatic, the same stuff that I'm using everywhere else now. But whatever exactly they're using to overlay this is a little, doesn't pass the light as well as the standard the traffic materials. That I typically use. So you'll find that this reflects really well, but the blue part doesn't reflect so well.
Does that apply to this FHW blue as well?
If I made those or I had those made, they would be much more reflective across the board.
Okay.
Because the materials are designed to pass that light and reflect it back to the driver. So the whole thing would be brighter than this one is. You'll see that on some of the other wayfinding signs, the ones you talked about, the ones that mark the edges of the neighborhoods. They're using, they're very bright around the border, but less bright in the field. And you've got a lot of blue field there, so they're not as bright there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as important as reflectivity for those kinds of signs, but for directional signage, I think it is.
And one of the places I really noticed that we need to improve our directional signage is down on the bayfront itself. There's a lot of variations of generations of directional signage down there, from the sign tab part that says public parking. We have some parking up. I can never remember the name of the building where we have the two tiers of parking. That's not
Mariner Square.
The directional signage to that parking is not great. There's a couple of these outside the restroom facility, which are up on a pole and they're very high in the air. And with all the busyness going on down in Nye Beach or in the Bayfront, they're hard to see, I noticed. There's not great parking directing people up. Is that Herbert Street where it dead ends and it's a steep hill?
Lee Street.
We probably need to mark that better as parking. And then also possibly as dead end, so that the RVs stop trying to go up there and maybe do some no RV sign up in there.
Is that public or private parking there by Mariner Square?
Both. There's the lower parking lot is private, but they pretty much allow people to park there and not say anything about it. And the upper one is actually owned by the city. And I know that the parking district down on the bayfront is really looking at that as a potential project to merge those two together, because neither parking lot is very good for. They're not laid out very well because they're too narrow to get three rows of parking in, but two rows of parking leaves you really huge driving aisles, and so by combining them together, we're hoping that you might be able to get a lot more parking out of it. But that's just at the beginning points of discussion with the Bayfront Parking District, which is another meeting coming up shortly.
Well, it seems to me as After what Tim says and everything, we're not that far apart. I mean, I think it sounds really good if we work together and we have that overall plan. We have a consistent way of requesting a sign, so there's some way to track what's going on. I think there's close to $100,000 that was put into the wayfinding program altogether since its inception. And I would really hope that we could at least work with Mayor Reed a little bit and tell to just keep the aspects of this wayfinding program that have worked really well, or just touch base with them and let them know what we're doing, or just so it's consistent with the plan we've already been working on, or at least we can talk about that.
With this philosophy, it seems to me the city could make more of the signs or order the signs more consistent with what Tim has shown.
Right.
And do it, we can locate it where it would be best, and the district signs and so forth, we could go out for bid on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the maps, once they're updated, we could go out for that. Then we could deal with these signs and be a win-win.
Well, I
yes.
think that what and Wendy said is working, because what Tim said and what I think you said is that you're only going to be dealing with directional signs, and I don't think that she had an issue with that.
Not at all. I think it would work out well. And if we could have for everybody to see that vocabulary, those sheets that say, what are the signs for this? I think maybe you gave me a copy of the
these are all in brown,
here.
White on brown. But.
Yeah, but if we could have that out where we could, I don't know, it just makes it seem easier to...
Well, and some of them,
put
you know,
it together.
Like the way that Mike did this, there is a sign for beach. It's like an umbrella or something, which is not particularly clear. You know, everybody knows that this is a restroom sign. Everybody knows that somebody's going to go get something to eat with this sign. I mean, that's universally known. You know, the P for parking, I mean, you can go to Australia and it's the same signal for that. But, you know, Mike used the language beach area, beach access, simply because it's far more clear. And that's primarily the reason people are going down to Nye Beach. You know, really there's only one restaurant you actually accessed on a beach street, maybe two. And so we might want to do that, especially particularly for the beach access itself, because,
the umbrella is ridiculous.
The logo sucks for it, it really does.
I think
this is pretty clear.
Doesn't the park have one with two people walking and waves? And I'm not seeing it on my ones, but I think the beach is a possibility, and we did have beach here, but the beach access is so big. Okay. I would like to just see beach, or actually the symbol, because we're always using symbols, and this is like a really big sign.
I don't think people know the symbol, though, for beach access.
Yeah, that's
part of
the
problem.
For beach access.
But doesn't,
umbrella.
I think that's a problem, is that's the best anybody's come up with so far, and it's really not...
It's not intuitive.
Honestly, a 3-foot sign.
Or that it's raining.
So for the sake of argument, a stop sign's 30 inches wide, and this is 36 inches wide. And you might think that's a big sign, but when you got it up on a post on the side of the road, it's not a big sign. And I think that was the problem here with the size of these signs, is when you're sitting at it at the table, you're like, oh, that's fantastic. When it's 100 feet away from you and you're in your car, this disappears. I mean, if you take a look at the interstate signs, I mean, those are literally measured in feet, you know, 10 by 8, the interstate signs, because you're traveling 70 miles an hour down the road, and it's 100 feet off, and it's based on speed and distance. A 3-foot wide sign is not a big sign.
Some of these have been used and will probably at some point need replaced, and so I think we should go with a larger circle. We're already using this type of sign where there's RV parking and so forth, like at the Performing Arts Center.
And we would not be inclined to put those round signs back up again.
Right, we'll just go to the square.
No, even if they were larger, we would not want to use the round signs.
Mayor Reed, I'm sure, wouldn't object to use of rectangles, because some of their signs are rectangle.
Yeah.
I think one thing that we are concerned about is stay away from the brown.
And that's why we're suggesting you can go with the...
I think the brown sucks.
Yeah, and that's why you have two of these. This is the standard recreational signage.
Right.
But we really think we should go with the blue on the white on blue.
I think the committee does too, now that I can speak for everybody.
Yeah. It's much more consistent with what you have.
How much more expensive is it to add an orange border on a blue rectangle sign?
We would not do that.
You'd have to decrease the size sign for one.
Well, we have to buy this special material for starters, which we could do, but we really want to try and maintain some consistency with what the METCD has for directional signage.
And we want to be cost efficient, but one thing is that monies from, and the city manager can correct me on this, but monies from the room tax can be used for this signage. It isn't general funds. It needs to
Well, we would expect that we would pay signage. For the directional signage out of the wayfinding sign money that is dedicated yearly.
Yeah, from the... Yeah,
we don't have the resources within the streets department to manufacture these signs.
Right.
But and these would be more cost effective than trying to custom build these types of signage or even order those types of signs. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to functionality. We want to try and maintain some consistency with this as much as possible.
And avoid the stacking business.
Avoid the stacking.
Right, that makes sense.
Try and have some sort of standards and retroreflectivity in the assignment or the
just
the,
again,
the materials that we use.
The committee's concerns is that we start getting some beach access signs up. Greg was nice enough to drive us around once, and I don't think Newport has beach access signs.
There's a few, but they're pretty scattered.
And we didn't find them.
Yeah. That's
and as Wendy points out,
a lot of times... I talked to you about where some of that disappeared.
People come to Newport because of the beach. That's the number one reason they come to Newport, the beach. We ought to provide them some beach access signs, as well as some of the hotels, when they were granted permission to build their hotels, it was with the agreement that they would leave us beach access, and now there's no beach access signs there. Thinking of the Hallmark in particular.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be, you know, as we go through this process and we start laying out some signage, it's pretty obvious where you're going to put beach access signs. I mean, it's obvious you need something at Coast and Beach Street, because that's one of the beach accesses. There's a few more between the hotels. There's some down, you know, at the bayfront, you know. You can access some in South Beach. You can get down from the North Jetty Trail down to the beach on the bay there. And that could be the first step, is just identifying those places where we want those beach access signs, and then deal with how to get to those places as we go along without having to wait sort of to the end of this process before we do anything. We could probably come up with some locations and beach access in pretty short order, and then get that worked out and get those in.
Wendy, wasn't that a major concern of yours, the beach access signs are lacking?
Yeah. All right. But one thing, I don't know if Tim has to leave like right now. Or
I need to leave here in just a couple minutes.
I wanted to say, after the last city council meeting when we were talking about, talked about wayfinding a little bit, and Ralph Busby, one of the new city councilors, came up and he said, I have a question. Does the sign committee ever take down signs? And but it made me think of that we're not here just to put up more signs. I think part of our mission should be to have as few signs as possible, really. I mean, we're not here just to plaster signage everywhere, but just judiciously place signs and take them down like the Nye Beach to nowhere sign.
When Mike and I look at it, we look at it in terms of clarity. Mm-hmm. We want it to be clear, and if a sign makes it less clear, the Nye Beach sign taking you on a left turn down 9th Street, that is not clear.
No.
That one needs to go, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's sort of the overall map scheme. So we can look at each corner and say, well, these are the signs that are already there. If we did this instead, and as part of our overall sign plans, we remove those signs, add these signs, and make it much more clear. That's the goal. Because you gotta remember, the guy who's using these signs has never been in Newport before, has rarely been in Newport before, doesn't know the streets like you and I do. And so we have to turn our brains off and what we know and make it as logical as possible for that person that's never driven on our roads before.
The one thing I would suggest on the signage is to not put the restaurant symbol on there.
Okay.
Because it's an advertising thing for a business where other businesses aren't going to get that. And those who pay for the signage on the highway, they pay for that to get a sign like to the Best Western or to Little Creek Cove or to the Chowder Bowl, they pay for those with the state of Oregon. And you know, if you had shopping on there and everything else and visual arts and all the things that are down Beach Drive, I could see doing that. But you want people just to have the public types of things that they can use. You want it to be clean and always looking the same. I would not start doing a restaurant one. Because then you need to put it everywhere, and I'm going to say, hey, where's my bead sign? And where's my shopping sign? And where's my visual arts sign? And so don't put the food on there.
Let me just defend the concept a little bit, just, I mean, or to put it in context. You know, I don't necessarily disagree in this particular situation, in this particular spot. But, and particularly looking at the color scheme that the MUTCD uses, blue is what are called motorist services, the things that you're driving down the road and you need as a driver traveling. You need medical attention. Hospital signs are blue.
Gas stations.
You need gas. You need lodging. You need food. Those are big ones. So that's why you'll see those a lot. Now, when you get to specific signs for specific businesses, that's been kind of an accommodation that's happened over the years because of demand for, you know, getting people to my business. You know, I understand what you're saying about you know, guiding people to certain kinds of businesses and not others, but that's just kind of the rationale for why.
Well, I wouldn't
that's
put
there,
the food one on there. You've got food in two other directions, not going to have a sign.
Well,
and it's a competitive thing.
That might actually be a really good thing to make a concrete decision on in the wayfinding sign committee. What are the specific things that we're going to do directional right. signage for? So when some business owner comes out of the woodwork and says, you know, on these signs, I want you to have a sign for my business or for this type of business, the wayfinding sign committee can concretely come back and say, we very intentionally thought through that, and we're really only specifically looking for, say, regional or tourist-related recreational types of facilities, you know, not specifically shopping.
The beach, the parking, the bathrooms.
Yes, the big ones. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I think
we're very intentional about that. Then.
Yeah.
So then we can concretely say, we thought about that, and I'm sorry, mm-hmm. we're not going to do that.
I think that's a very good policy.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tim, I think that looks great. So nice and...
Yeah, fill that spot.
Chris.
It sounds like we're in agreement that the blue is better than the brown. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that using the squares and
it wavers from the MUTC standard only slightly. You know, as Mike was saying, you know, you usually wouldn't see a beach access sign in blue because it's not a motorist service.
We don't necessarily want the signs to look like usual. And people are not aware of the MUTCD rules.
Oh, I would actually disagree pretty vehemently with that because these are, I mean, I can drive to Chicago and follow the traffic signage because it follows
this. I'm thinking in terms of this, blue means such and such, and brown means such and such.
In color, yes. Color, I would agree with you. But in terms of the amenity signs...
I agree with you.
Those are across the country always the same. And
with the exception of beach access.
The thing to consider, too, is people who don't speak English. It's pretty important for those logos to be relatively consistent. And so beach access in English for somebody who speaks Spanish doesn't do much. But... you can only go somewhere.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much what you'll see in places where beach access is signed.
It primarily
for motorists. I think you probably see it.
Once they see one, they'll figure it out for the next time.
Well, if you're in Mexico, you figure out Playa Mita pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. See, they don't have logos there either for the beach, do they, in Mexico?
They have signs that say Playa. I was there a few weeks ago.
That's why you're horrifically sick. It was the water. You know?
Yeah. I was working on that house in Denver.
Well, thank you. Maybe at our next meeting, then, we can start laying out some things for beach access and come up with, what amenities we want to sign for and keep going.
Thank you, Tim. I think it's been very productive.
Thanks. I'll try and show up to these as much as possible. I'm sorry I have to duck out here, but, you know. 400 tons of asphalt going down as we speak, so I'd really like to do
We can smell it.
No, I think that's...
Thanks, Tim.
Yep.
All right, well, there you go. Anyone else have any comments?
The only thing, I'm not on this committee, but what this issue about Nye Beach, you're talking about the one over there by the rec center?
No.
No, it's
down
right
there by Toujours, right?
Oh, no, we're talking about the one possibly that will be removed, right, Tim?
Yeah,
it
right.
Leads you.
Yeah, and so my question was, is it to let people know we have a Nye Beach, or how to get to Nye Beach? What's the distinction?
Wasn't it a directional sign?
I think it was a directional sign.
Yeah. With an arrow.
And it's confusing.
Got it.
And isn't it at Hatfield where it comes up right?
Right, mm-hmm. That's yeah. What I thought, okay.
And then there's one at the top of the Bay Boulevard, or where by the Coast Guard Station, and that's another one that takes you off to the right, that, and then dumps you out nowhere.
Right.
Goes up by the hospital. Really, I mean, Nye Beach, a better way is to go through the state park, and down Elizabeth is a gorgeous drive. If you want to send people to Nye Beach, or maybe we don't even need the sign. Because
so
people...
That's a good question at that point, the number of
yeah.
signs, I mean, the number of signs it would take to guide people
yeah.
around there.
You,
I mean,
and Chuck has made the point that once you start directional signs to districts, then you start getting into a discussion of which district has the most directional signs and which district's getting left
that's
out.
I believe
that's come up.
Yeah. He's not here, so he can't. But yeah, he's keeps track of that. And most anyway, I think beach is the most important sign. So,
anybody else have a comment?
I think the one comment is, I think a good discussion is what amenities do you want to put on there? Clearly parking, restrooms, and beach. But we also want to be known for culinary, for lodging. But then where do you stop? Because
yeah,
the sign is so
door,
big. So it should be a good open discussion to say, well, just because we don't want to promote one restaurant over another, how can we still have the overall goal of we want to be known for culinary, for eating, place to eat,
yeah,
but not specifically do it. So it's a good discussion to have, and I don't, it's unfortunately it's not brown
once
or blue.
Once you park your car, then you will figure that out.
Yeah.
So what I got from today's meeting is that next meeting we need to talk about the amenities that should be listed on the signs, the mm-hmm. icons, mm-hmm. if you will. This development of a sign request form, which we can do, staff can do that, and we'll bring it so you can look at it. And I think that's it.
The beach, we might go over where we'll place the beach
yeah.
access signs.
So beach access locations.
Yeah, and maybe Public Works can bring a map, and we can start pointing of possible areas.
Mike, if this was just one, if there was just beach access and this is 3 feet wide, can that be placed just like that then? If say there were all no other amenities but just
like
beach access.
Like at the Hallmark, for example. Mm-hmm.
If you were just
yeah,
marking
you
beach
just
access.
Have that uh-huh. one sign.
Yeah, and I might look at, in that case, I might look at other dimensions to see how it lays out.
Oh, okay.
You know, whether it might not, rather than being, you know, wide and short, that it might work better in a different configuration. You know, unless you started looking at trying to standardize, you know, have these all identical. You know, which is worth thinking about anyway. the long narrow sign is a little bit more vulnerable to getting bent.
Yeah.
Either in the wind or
that's
by vehicles.
That's what I was thinking. If it was by itself,
so
maybe it would. But
that's a concern. And actually, if we're looking at taking out the restaurant panel, you know, then I may want to rethink the configuration here, just because, you know, I designed this 36 inches wide because it matches.
Mm-hmm. 12, 12, and 12.
All matches up. And you can see there's really quite a bit of extra space here that, you know, might be configured. So I would play around with the configuration a little bit, and I can bring back some you know, results that I get from that.
Just for the sake of simplifying things, could access be removed and just have it say beach, and then the letters could be bigger? Or does
I think you need to put access on there, because you can see the beach everywhere, but the access is what you're looking for.
Well, you wouldn't put up a beach sign unless it was access.
You don't know that, though. You know, I think access is important. People drive and stop and look at the beach.
Well, I know in Mexico it never says playa, access a la playa. I think it just says playa. You know, I mean, just thinking of how it's done in other places, I've never seen it distinguished.
Well, since we started our meeting, we've always used the phrase beach access.
Well,
we've always used it.
We didn't use it on the signs we agreed on. We just had beach on those temporary signs. It just said beach with an arrow. We didn't use the access. So I don't know. What do other people think?
I was just, you know, it's funny you said that, because I was remembering in Italy, it's pretty clear that there were little paths, you know, between complexes.
Oh.
And yet, I'm an English speaker. I don't speak Italian. And I could tell, but now I'm drawing a blank as to, well, what was it that drew me to follow that directional sign. So I need to go back, and because it's obviously was pretty clear to tourists that you can't go on that property, but you can go on this property. And so the access issue is important, because of course we have in all of Oregon all public beaches. That's not the case in many other parts of the world. Where,
well, and the Hallmark is a good example of that. If you just have a sign that says beach, people say, yeah, I know there's a beach there, la-di-da. But if it says beach access, now I know I can access the beach there. They're not just pointing a sign and saying the beach is here, yeah, I know it's there. Now I have access to the beach. That is a, quote, public access.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to put up signs just to point out the beach. I think we're only going to put up signs to point out beach access.
So then you should say beach access.
After thinking about it for a couple minutes, I think the word access is helpful.
Well, when specific. I don't know, Mike, if you would do this or somebody else, but if we could start to narrow down, I don't know, maybe for our next meeting or else after the next meeting, have just sheets with just the symbols we're using, I think that'd be really helpful. So we don't, because sifting through all of this is...
Help with that. Pull out the ones that are likely to be the things you're going to want to use.
Will you send that to me before the meeting so that I can make sure everyone gets it in advance? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah.
Peggy, the committee's discussed before having an ODOT representative or representatives come to one or more of our meetings, and I don't know how far out we should be thinking that exactly, but I think we should keep that in mind.
They're somewhere. Always noticed. They always get the agenda and the invite.
Yeah, we did
There's
have
two of them who get it.
Attended ones.
Frank, I think it's Frank Crocker who, or somebody like that, and then also John Allen. So we have two ODOT people who get notices of all these meetings. Mm.
We saw today how useful it is to have Tim here. I think it'd be very useful if we could get.
Well, he's on the list too. We'll drag him in here if we can catch him.
I think that's a good idea when we're ready to, when we have enough information
down the line,
so we can ask questions.
Right.
I noticed there's a bus stop. Wouldn't that be great to have bus stop sign? Or Linda, what do you think about if there was some way we could have better signage for the transit?
I know that's a goal of everybody.
But I mean that would be great because I don't know if you've noticed. Those Lincoln Transit signs, a lot of time they're lying on the ground and there's no other signage that it's a bus stop. Like at the corner of 3rd and Coast Street at Coastal Breeze, the sign's usually behind a flower pot and there's no other sign. I don't know if our committee could do that, but...
Is that available just, 12 months of the year?
Mm-hmm.
It is, okay.
Yeah, it runs every day except Thanksgiving and Christmas for the Loop.
Anyway, it just seems like I noticed this bus stop sign. If we use that same type of sign, or maybe the county can pay for it, I don't know. But
What, Mike? You don't want that in our vocabulary. I just thought.
I definitely think it's something to be addressed. I'm not sure. You know where best to be to have
for
addressed.
The,
so
for the loop,
so I'm looking more towards the city manager.
Because transit money pays a huge chunk. Not a huge chunk, but we pay for.
It is a huge chunk.
Well, it's a huge chunk out of our budget, it's not really.
When you look $90,000.
Well, when you look at the amount that runs that loop, it's not the biggest portion that pays for it. We pay, 15% is what that covers.
Wow. Maybe that's 20%. Amazing. Huge budget.
Yeah, but it's paid through room tax money and lodging guests ride transit for the city for free. So in that respect, it would be valuable to use that logo. Mm-hmm.
And then the RV logo. Now, that's something that we haven't quite figured out, I think, is what we're going to do, on the bayfront, sort of east on the bayfront, and then up Nye Street there, because Tim suggested not restriping, or we had wanted to direct RVs up there. But how are we going to sign that? So
that's a...
And I've heard two different comments. I heard one at one meeting that RVs could straddle two spots. And I hear at other meetings RVs cannot straddle two spots.
Yeah, me too.
It's against the law. They get a ticket if they straddle two spots.
I will have to get verification on that, but I believe if you do not fit in a parking spot, you'll get a ticket.
Yeah, and it could be marked that RVs are okay.
Or if we don't have the striping.
That's difficult. RV is okay, but a car, a boat, or a big truck. The parking enforcement people just want it very clear. Either you don't have all these exceptions.
Because we do have RVs in Nye Beach. There needs to be someplace for them to go.
Right.
What about the pack?
Yeah, we've talked about that. I think there are RV signs there now.
Yeah, the Third Street, though, is a great place for RV parking. It's flat.
Right, and that was one of the problems with striping. Third Street was all the same. When it wasn't striped, an RV could park there, and it was fine. But once you striped it, now you had a spot, and if you didn't fit in that spot,
unless
then
you can put a sign that say RVs are okay.
But is RVs okay, or a big truck okay, or a car and a boat okay?
A big truck's parked across my driveway. They don't care where they park.
Well, that's that's the can of worms.
It's the same one all the time.
We could open.
Curly's really,
I mean, we need to, because I was reading an RV guide to the coast, and they were saying, Nye Beach, there's no RV parking. And that's not what we want. But we do want to direct them away from Linda's driveway.
Well, they don't. And the RVs don't park in front. It's the delivery trucks that park in front of me. And it's Curly's Dairy, who loves to park right across my driveway. He takes his own sweet
time. I'm
going
to call him.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought if there weren't quite so many signs to look through, but we had a few things.
Well, maybe there is a way to
narrow it down.
Like you do handicap parking, there might be two RV spots marked on Third.
Yeah, and Tim has actually addressed this with the council. He thought that certain areas on Third Street maybe not stripe it. Further away from coast, so that and then direct RVs to there, and then they can fit wherever they want.
Right. Yeah,
I think we might have just been a little overboard on that.
A place that they'll fit with getting a ticket,
and then it starts to slope, so you don't want it.
There's
to
a nice
flat
area and it also is not in direct sunlight a lot in some of those areas.
Yeah,
where it's protected if you have pets, you want to leave in your RV.
Yeah, because I think what all this is there's not a one-size-fits-all. There has to be a concept and then refine it as we talk about it. You know, in some areas it might make sense to put, I'll just use this as a culinary type of sign. Other areas it might not make. So rather than say we will always do it or not do it, maybe it makes sense to put beach access because the buildings are closed, but maybe just put in a beach because it's clear. So I think once the concept or what is needed to be done, and then working with Mike and Tim, refine it, and it might not be exactly the same, but it might be working. So I think that's just, you have to have a discussion on a case-by-case basis.
We are on
basis.
The right track, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I think.
We're on the right track, and we're kind of all speaking the same language.
I'm still working on definitions.
Yeah. When this came up, were you talking about whether there's a universal symbol or whether the letters RV are... Because I wasn't clear when you started that discussion whether you're talking about signage or parking.
Well, both, I guess.
Are the letters RV considered universal?
For RV parking?
There really isn't, that I'm aware of, any kind of a universal symbol.
Used in this country.
There's like a camper in here, but I don't know what that means.
It probably means that you can camp there.
Yeah, right.
I would be reluctant to put that around.
Yeah.
The other thing, standard symbol for an RV dump site.
Right. I had mentioned to Mike.
Oh, here.
You had talked about ODOT earlier,
but it's not really that.
And
that's
the fact that maybe they could be at one of your meetings, but I'd said to Mike, because I always think of him as the sign guy. But for months now, the sign at the airport has been broken. This says 84th, and he said, "Well, that's not a city sign; that's an ODOT sign." So I guess I'm raising the question: if do we have a formal way of notifying ODOT that there's a sign broken that needs repairing?
When I'm aware of them, I have a supervisor contact in Albany who sends out the crews that I'll email things to.
Oh, okay.
And then I think Bob probably has a couple of contact numbers. Bob Fuller.
Mark McConnell's talked about meeting with ODOT personnel on a regular basis.
He does. When it comes time
to invite ODOT, I would be willing to ask Mark McConnell to be the go-between the city and...
Well, Sandra, you mean in his role as private citizen? Or?
Yeah, private citizen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know if... Or what do you think about next time talking about the bus stop thing? Or maybe that's another one. But I think with all the money and the great resource that transit is, that we should really try to get signage. And maybe we'll decide we're not going to do it. This committee won't be in deal with it. The county will, but don't you think it would be good to have better signage for that transit so tourists use it? It's the signs are plywood and then paper, and somebody put staple plastic over the top.
I'm the one who does the signs for transit. Well, nobody else does them, and I can't do them anymore. So,
well, why don't we get somebody to? It seems like a weak link. Well, Jim, do you think it was something the city might pay for? Or?
Well, I guess the first question would be to ask the transit company to see if they're going to
pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, if we had a location, like this committee says, okay, here's some locations, we'd like it, we would bring it to them and say, can you put these, because we're paying you $90,000, can you put some signs up to identify where your bus routes are?
Yeah. And I think if that came from a committee, they would pay attention, I would hope.
Or invite them to a meeting.
Yeah.
So at least they can hear, instead of just a message, but hear the back and forth discussion.
Is that still Cinda?
It is.
Do you want me to ask her the next meeting?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Remind me, I was going to ask her to come to a council meeting to give an update.
Okay.
I mean, I wonder how they mark the route in other cities.
The only signs that they have for transit right now are some of the bus signs like you see at some of their main stops. There's one out by the Pacific Shores. There's one there, and that's for their regular north-south loop. But they don't have, transit doesn't have very many signs at all. They just don't have them.
Maybe she can give us a little presentation on her signage.
Because they cost money.
I'll add that to the next agenda, and I'll put it on first so that she can leave.
Okay.
Before we talk about it.
It's a really a neat thing to have. And
yeah, I think the only thing you be careful about, having just spent a month in Europe, is they have mastered the art of direction finding for public transit. You know, I mean, that's,
that's how you get around.
That's how you get around. But here, we don't have that much.
Right.
You know, and I would want to overplay the card.
Yeah. But if there was a way to have a schedule that you could see that mm-hmm. could be changed.
Yeah.
Because I know when I tried to take it once, it was super frustrating. And I wanted to get down to that NOAA opening.
Well, because only one bus runs, you only have one driver, there are layovers and lunches. So they do stop three times a day, and you have to get off the bus. It's only one driver to do that loop. Well, there's not enough money to pay for more. Unless you wanted to go to fewer days, and then you could cross over. Two buses would be really nice. That's double the money.
And, well, wasn't Derek was talking about OSU as doing more, that I think is a separate system.
Oregon State is having a hard time kicking money in because they don't want anyone else to benefit from the money that they would kick in.
Well, but maybe if Lucinda, it would be good just to kind of have a little transit update.
They're real protective of the money. They'll say, yeah, we'd like to support it, but only our students can benefit from this. Nobody else can benefit from this. They're real protective of it. They're not into the public domain yet. They're still very much protective of their money. You can now take transit to and from Corvallis and Albany every day. You can get here by 8 o'clock in the morning. You can get there by 8 o'clock in the morning. You can get home by 6 or 7 at night. And you can get home here by 6 or 7 at night. And that's 7 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think there are 5 trips a day.
Have you ever heard of collaboration?
They are. They are collaborating with Lynn Benton.
Oh, okay. But not with cities and...
They're Lincoln County Transit.
Districts. Oh, okay.
And it's no different than other things we talk about. I mean, you can go on and on. I pay a lodging license with the county, and I pay a vacation rental license with the city, but they have no discussion with each other about those two licenses. The county and the city don't talk about things like that.
Mm. One other thing, were we going to talk about making this committee a standing committee?
Did that come up at council? I wasn't there.
Oh, that's right. You weren't.
Well, I don't know that even...
I brought it up.
I don't know. I read it some. Didn't it come up in a...
I suggest that I
asked... It was discussed at the last wayfinding.
Oh, I remember that, but I thought I read it subsequent to that.
I asked the council to.
If you ask the council, then they need to give a response.
Oh, that's right.
That they wanted to see what our request was specifically.
Maybe we could come up with that request next. Talk about that at the next meeting.
Okay.
I just thought it would.
Develop
should be a standing
committee.
Request. Yeah, it should be a standing committee, don't you think? Or Jim, what do you think?
Well, I think the discussion was to have a standing committee, not necessarily meet every month.
No.
But
authority.
It wouldn't really have authority to spend money. It would be more advisory, most of the council's committee.
And this committee is not.
This is an ad hoc committee. Yeah. It's not. It doesn't really even have a regular membership. It's just people get together and chat.
If we have more structure, I think it would operate a lot more smoothly as an ad hoc, too, though. It's just that we have been kind of...
Well, I put that on the next agenda,
okay.
So perhaps we could set a date for the next meeting. And I agree with Jim. I mean, even if it became a regular committee, you wouldn't want to meet every month.
No.
You would burn out.
Just as necessary.
So would you like to meet in...
March,
yeah. The first Friday in March is what day?
March 1st.
Oh, March 1st. At 8:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. And we will, here's what the agenda will sound like. We'll talk about the amenities to go on signs, the icons, the sign request form draft, beach access locations, transit route, and we'll develop a formal request for a standing committee.
You know, one of the things I heard Tim say is that I think he was under the impression it was meeting monthly, just by his comments, and it seems to me that that's a pretty long agenda if you're only going to meet every 3 months, you might want to consider meeting as needed as opposed to meeting. Because if you set an arbitrary timing, then you build up your agenda and you're not accomplishing some of the things that you set out to accomplish. So there's got to be a kind of a gray where you're not having to do it monthly, but you have the freedom to do it quarterly.
I think that's right. That's how it should be, especially if it becomes a standing committee.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the Public Arts Committee. They should probably meet as needed because they won't have something every month.
Mm-hmm. Right, and this a good discussion when you come up with a request to bring to council.
That
you
can
kind of talk about how often you want to meet or how what decision point causes you to meet.
Yeah. Well, I'm comfortable with March, and if there were another meeting in May, that gives us two good meetings before summer hits.
And it is a long agenda for March, but...
That means that we have a reason to meet.
You know, some of the items that are on there won't require huge discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Are we good?
I think we're about ready to adjourn this one.
And that was perfect because it's 9:33.
That's an efficient meeting.
Perfect. Don't